Indeed, I hope you can say it is well with your soul here this morning. Let's open our Bibles together. Take them to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. And in Hebrews chapter 12, the first four verses, some of this we looked at last week when I talked about the race that is, the race that is set before us. My Christian life, your Christian life, is described with this metaphor as a race. And I think it's worthy of our attention, and it's very applicable to the things that... Say, Derek, will you go back in the refrigerator and grab a bottle of water so I can make everybody jealous? I have no idea what happened. It just I don't talk enough during the week, but all of a sudden now I got a... something that's making my voice go up and down. At least I think it is. Anyway, so here's just what we have. The race set before us, God wants me to view my Christian life in that way. So last... stand by. Hand it from 6 feet away, please. Feel like a Pepsi commercial. All right, we'll see what happens. The pain will be on your side, not on mine. So this is what goes on. I'm gonna try to give you a quick review and then advance the idea of this race. The moment we're born again, we are all in this on a course that God sets before us. So young people, you are in this too. It's not that you have to get to a certain age to be a part of Beyond the Course, but there is a course, regardless of my age, regardless of my present or past circumstances, God's will for my life is to be on this course, all right? There's a course of life that he intends for me to be on. The course has boundaries and its direction are set by God. He gives it to me in his word, the Bible, the text of Scripture. That's how I know what the course is. I do not choose my course. In other words, go my own way. God sets it before me. It is not the old course that I used to be on. There's a change the moment I receive Christ. And it is not the course of the world. So do not be surprised if the world is on a different course. All right, so this is unique to Christians. God sets before them a course of life that they are to be on. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I think what we have to do on this course, the set before us, is we have to listen to the witnesses, listen to others that have run the race before us. We're going to see a little bit later, probably not today, but I want to show you how Christ is the author and the finisher of the course. All right, so he's run before us in this race, but listen to those who are testifying, and what they are testifying of is they are saying faith is the way to navigate that course. It's the way to run the course. You run it by faith. That's Hebrews chapter 11. They are not, these witnesses, as you recall from last week, they are not looking at us like spectators or cheerleaders. We are to look at them, how they live their life, and do the same thing, that we have this cloud of witnesses around us, the consistent testimony of every witness, and consistent testimony of, I suggest to you, the rest of the Scripture, is that faith is the way to run the race. All right, so we have that. The course of my life, as they run this course, and you see it in this, the last phrase of verse 1, let us run with patience. It needs to be run with a steady determination to keep going regardless of the difficulties and the hardships. The race is long. The race is grueling. It's not a quick or an occasional sprint. It's not a stroll in the park. And last week, as we set up this teaching here in chapter 12, we look back to chapter 10, and you saw the hardships that these Jewish believers were going through. You get a hint of that at the end of chapter 11. But they were, the whole message of Hebrews is to bolster their faith so that they are not going to go back to the old ways, to the old course, Judaism, the old sacrifices, the old ways of doing things in the religion of their forefathers. So the course of my life needs to be run by faith, with patience. Let me show you chapter 12, verse 3, and just kind of jump you a little bit ahead. And it says, for consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Can you see the temptation? All right, we'll talk about considering him as Jesus and what he endured. But just note that what they were being tempted with is they were being tempted with being wearied and in their resolve. I think that's the application of our minds, wearied and faint. Hardships were wearing them down and weakening their resolve. If you look and you see, it says, look at verse 4, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. There's a reference to Jesus there, but it's also a note to them. He says, in other words, the implication is they have been resisting sin. All right? You know, and you say, well, what way? Our sinful desires are many. And we have to say no to our sinful desires, to resist sin in order to walk in holiness the way that's the course that God wants us to be on. But you know, doesn't it tire us out, weary us out to always be battling sin and striving against sin in our lives? And so they were tempted to go back to the old life. Right, they were worn out. I believe they were wearied in the spiritual battle and the real world ramifications of the course that was set before them. They were different than the world, different than their old life, and this new course was just had a burden on them that they're tempted to go back to the old ways. Let me make a very broad application, but I think it's something we ought to consider. This COVID-19 stuff can weary us out, right? But I'm telling you, and if you've heard me say this, it's a long race. We have to run this with patience. We have to do it by faith, and we have to run this race with patience. And then let me give you one more sort of as a review, and then I want to launch into some new things this morning, and that is running this course is for every Christian. Running this course is for every Christian. There are no spectators, all right? There are no referees. There are no cheerleaders. Referees, I kind of threw that one in there because, you know, I'm thinking, what do referees do? They call fouls. They're calling all these fouls, you know, and they slow the game down. They slow the race down. But there are no referees. I'm mixing a bunch of athletic contests with that. But there are no cheerleaders. There are no commentators. There is only, in Christianity, active participants who are running the course. That's it. Now, let me show you some things. And you have an idea of what chapter 12 says. And so I'm going to take you to some other portions of Scripture. 2 Timothy. So you back up from Hebrews, and you're going to find 2 Timothy right straight on. And 2 Timothy chapter 4. What we need to do, so the picture is in our mind. It's one of several major metaphors that are given to us in the New Testament describing the Christian life. All right, we are soldiers, we are husbandmen, we are farmers, and all of these matters are meant to teach us on how to live the Christian life. But we have this athletic metaphor. What we need to do, however, as we place a metaphor alongside spiritual truth, is we have to adjust somewhat, because our modern thinking on a race is going to lead us to some wrong conclusions. You say, what? Well, let me get into this, and you'll see why. So, in other words, we need to adjust our modern thought about a race, and we need to understand the truths that they're meant to represent, and not get too detailed or off base when we do that. And here's one of the things I want to show you. 2 Timothy and chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy is the last letter that the Apostle Paul writes. He writes it to Timothy, his son in the faith. Timothy was an apostolic representative in many cases. I believe here he's in Ephesus. But he writes to Timothy, and he says this about his life shortly before he is executed in Rome. He says, "I have fought a good fight." That, by the way, is a different metaphor, but listen to it. "I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Right, let me just pause there, because it serves what I want to do. The object of the race is to finish the course and receive the crown. You link those two together, because, stick with me, everybody finishes the course. When's the course over? When you die or the rapture comes. Everybody finishes. So you say, well, that's not true in a race today. That's what I'm saying. Don't take our modern view of a race and not understand the ramifications or the illustration that he says, "I finished my course," that he did. And he receives the crown, but link the two together. So the object of the race is to finish and obtain the crown. That's the object of the race. The incorruptible crown, I'll show you that in just a moment. It is often called the prize, you will hear it called the prize. But before I go on and show you that, let me share with you, it is not, though this is the thing about our modern day races, it is not everybody wins. All right? I have said everybody finishes, but everybody finishes, not everyone who finishes gets the crown. All right, so it's not everybody wins. I need to run to receive the crown. In other words, there's a crown for those, and I'm trying to avoid this word, it's inevitable, so I'm just going to throw it in here. The crown is for those who win, but we have to understand winning. All right, we have to understand the biblical concept of winning. So I run the race in such a way to receive the crown at the end. So in our day, and sometimes these are to different degrees and so forth, but you ever hear this, everybody's a winner. Winning isn't everything. You know, I'm like trying to think of some other things. So I channel the Vince Lombardi in me. But anyway, the biblical we have this concept of winning, but I want you to realize it's not everybody, and it's not just one. We're running this race to receive a crown. There is a crown. The crowns are there for everybody that runs their race in a particular way. All right, so this, we have to adjust our thinking in regard to that. First Corinthians is another passage I want you to put your eyes on. It's going to be familiar to many. I get that. So Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. It's not really a proper exegesis, but you can see Hebrews talks about running by faith. He says, I've kept the faith, and I haven't strayed from that. I want to, you want to get to the end. I don't know when that is, but you want to get to the end, keep on running until you can say, I have finished my course. I have this crown waiting for me at the end. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul, actually he himself mixes a few metaphors, but they're all athletic, but there are some things. So the object of the race is to finish, but finish so that I receive the incorruptible crown. Secondly, I need to run this race in such a way that I not be disqualified. All right, so I need to run this race in such a way that I not be able to disqualify. And actually, I'm going to take you back after I read this to something that relates to number one in just a moment. But chapter 9, and we begin in verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race, there it is, there's our link, run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. Now, I'm going to have to explain that because say it was only one receiving the prize. And you know, there's a way of understanding that I'll get to in just a moment. So I run this, but listen to what it says. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. See, the idea there's an incorruptible crown is the prize. The crowns are the prize. I, therefore, so run. All right, he says, in other words, and here's the way, it's not just one person receives the prize, it's the only one that receives the prize is the one that does it in the right way. All right, the crowns are not for those who don't run the right way. He says, one receives the prize, I get that, I want that prize, I'm going to run to obtain the prize, therefore, I'm going to run in a particular way. Verse 26, not as uncertainly. In other words, I think the reference here, the picture that should be in our mind, not aimlessly. I was going to say chickens without their heads, but let me give you a less gruesome story. So I've got this course. And if you ever like work with or have young children, I'm thinking of years of vacation Bible school working with kids, and you know some of the youngest ones, you'd say, well, we're going to run from here, you know, it's probably about 20 feet away over there, and you say, okay, and you get them all lined up, you say, go, and they're like running all over the place. They're running like they don't know where the end is. You say, I don't know, your kids were crazy, Pastor. No, that's. I think that happens. They just like to run. I mean, they don't care where they run, they just want to run. Now, I know that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, right? That's all my education has taught me that. And I think that's what Paul is saying. He says, because I want to run to obtain the prize, I need to run not uncertainly. I need to go after that prize. I think for us, at least it ought to bring to mind, what is it that God is going to reward? All right, so I run to obtain that. I live my life in such a way as to obtain that. But there's more here, and if I'll direct your attention back to verse 26, excuse me. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. You know, of course, that's where he mixes. It's talking about more of the idea of boxing, a fight like that. You know, I don't know if they call it shadow boxing or whatever. Let me kind of switch metaphors. I think it'd be the same thing, running on a treadmill, right? You say, where you're going nowhere. You know, you're not accomplishing anything. Well, And I understand cardiovascular, I think I understand it at least, cardiovascular stuff. But he says, I run in a particular way. Now, verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. Now, in the whole context, in the whole message, that word cast away is the idea of disqualified. So he says, I run so that I obtain the prize because I don't want to get to the finish and be disqualified. And so it should bring us to the point that he says, so therefore, I don't do it uncertainly. I bring myself into subjection so that I can be crowned, so that I can obtain the prize. You know, we use that idea, and it just brings it up with, it is well with my soul. Wouldn't you like to get to the end of your life and hear the words of the faithful steward that said to the faithful steward, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Yeah, we all want that. How about getting to the end and hearing this? Depart from me. Or hearing, no reward. No reward, no prize, no crown. I think that's the idea. Depart from me would be more if you're unsaved. But the idea is that with believers, we have this idea of being disqualified. And we run in such a way so as to not be disqualified. I'm going to share with you several other scriptures I don't necessarily want you to turn to, but I'll get that in a moment. I am disqualified. And what that means is there's no crown. There's no crown for that if I do things in my life that are not rewardable. It's not that everybody gets the prize. That's not it. It's the prize is for those who run in a particular way. Now here are the verses. You can write down references if you want. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16 says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. In other words, there can be labor and running that is in vain, empty. He says, so I've preached Christ. I'm kind of mushing together all sorts of testimonies of Paul. He says, I've fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have preached Christ. I've held forth the word of life because I want to obtain at the end the crown that's laid up for me. Galatians 5:7, he tells the Galatian believers, the province of Galatia, ye did run well. Past tense, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? So now you say, well, what does that mean? So you would have to know more about what's happening in Galatia, but just from that one verse, if you say, he says, you did run well, the idea is now you're not because you're not obeying the truth. That's hindered you from running well. So you say, well, how should I run this race? I run it by faith. I have patience. I run to obtain the crown. And then I need to realize that I'm going to run in such a way that I'm not disqualified, that it's not an empty labors that I'm doing with my life. But and you say, what is one way that I can get off course? Well, don't obey the truth. It's a little bit better picture, a clearer picture in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. It says, if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Say, well, what is that? So in other words, there are rules to a race. You can't step outside the boundaries and still win the race and still obtain the prize. So the idea is that we follow, we obey the guidelines that God has given us, the instructions, the commands that he has given us between, to run this race. So I realize I want to run this race in such a way that I am not disqualified. I'm not disqualified in any way. Let me give you a third matter. And then we'll see how it goes. I've got five, by the way, in case you're trying to keep track of how long this is going to take you. But let me give you this third one. The race is not in competition with others or in comparison to others. Competition and comparison is a modern concept or a concept in our athletic contests that is not necessarily what Paul is trying to illustrate in this life. I think of in competition, that's one thing that comes to my mind all the time when you're thinking about running a race, is competition. All right, competition with someone else. Did you win the race? What place did you come in comparison with others? There's other reasons you say I might run a race, but it's not for competition. Comparison is a little bit. I'm going to switch once again the metaphor, but comparison might be. Let me pick a sport. Gymnastics. All right. So it's not just that you did your routine, but how did you look doing it? Right? And it's a comparison thing to others. I know you're graded and so forth, but there's a comparison matter. That's in that athletic context. What we have to understand when we think of a race that way, we're going to be off track in our spiritual life, because in this course of life that I want to be crowned for, because I run it in such a way that I'm not disqualified, in this course of life, it's between me and the Lord. It's not about the other guy. It's not about being better than the other guy. I messed this up because it's been so long since. It's not grading on a curve, whatever that is. I can't remember it anymore. I know I liked it. But the idea is that's not it. It's between me and the Lord, all right? I'm not running to be seen by others. I'm not running to look good to others. It's not a competition. It's not a comparison. It is to be the drive of my life to run the race of this life in such a way that I'm not disqualified by running uncertainly and getting outside the boundaries of God's word. I want to run the race in such a way that I obtain the prize. All right, first, back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I put all of this together. I immerse myself in the Word. I encourage you to immerse yourself in the Word, and a lot of that makes sense. I'm the run with patience. It's a long race. There are going to be times when the race gets harder, right? When the race gets harder, I may not be making as much progress, but I still stay in the right direction. I still stay between the lines. And we realize that's the case. That's patience. But the idea is that with patience, what's happening in my life may not be the same thing that's happening in your life. So it's not a comparison. We're not trying to. Beat each other in the Christian life. I'm more spiritual than you are. It's between you and the Lord. It's not by comparison. Pastor, you look really good doing that. Nobody said that ever. But the idea is, it's not about how I look. It's between me and the Lord running this race so I obtain the prize. And just doing everything in my striving so that I'm not disqualified. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, back to our text, and let me just show you these, and I'm going to go through them in this fashion, and then we'll call it a morning. But as we see this in verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There are things. Number 4, is if you're trying to keep track of my style of outline, there are things which can easily beset us as we run the course. All right, they can. The word beset literally means to entangle, to wrap around. All right, and you know, but I am to run my race. You would get the picture. If I am beset, then I'm not gonna, you know, run the race the way I should be. You know, I'm not getting this progress that I should. I am to lay those things beside. It mentions 2 things here. Some of these you've heard before and are familiar with. It says, I'm to lay aside every, don't overlook that word, every weight. It's a burden or a mass which weighs us down. Contextually, I think in the picture of the first century, it's the idea of extra clothing or baggage. You ever hear the phrase, you have, gird up the loins? Why would they gird up their loins? You would say, well, they would gird up their loins. They'd take their outer garment and lift it up, tuck it into their belt, or do some other way so that they could go on with vigorous activity. Why? Because their long robe would impede their work. It would entangle in them. You know, that's the idea that you find, extra baggage. I did this illustration one time, and I'm proud of the illustration. I may have shared it with you before. Back in for many years, our church would go to Camp Chautauqua in northern Wisconsin. Camp Chautauqua at that time had a camp pastor. I was there on the weeks that our kids went, and then they also had, one of the duties of the camp pastor was every morning before breakfast, the kids would get up, go to the lakefront, kind of a lakefront amphitheater, but you know, stairs going up, and they would sit there, and you'd do a daily devotional to get them going in the morning. They'd go from there to flag raising and there to breakfast, and so you just have to get a picture of all these kids coming out of their camp, out of their thing, and they're, you know, they're campers who have probably not slept much during the night, and so forth, and they're there, groggy, not used to getting up at a certain time in the morning. And there they are, and we had to give them a kind of a devotional. So I learned very early on that I couldn't do my style of preaching and exegesis for a devotional. All right, so I'm out of my element. So I said, I'm going to illustrate this something. So I asked for 2 volunteers. Kids always volunteer. These are junior age campers. They'll volunteer for anything. I picked out 2 boys. Had them come up. One was a little bit heavier than the other, you know, bigger than the other. The other one was kind of looked nimble and able to run. I says, all right, guys, stand right here. And I says, I'm going to want you to run a race. And I had put something down at the end of this deck that was out in front. I said, I want you to run from there to there. I said, ready? Get set? Oh, wait a second. So I took the guy that looked pretty speedy, and I says, here's the deal. You've got to carry... And I had 2 suitcases filled with rocks. I says, all right, you got to carry these. And so I said, okay, ready, get set. And I said, go. And you know what the guy with the rocks did? Nothing. He couldn't believe it. He says, that's not fair. And I wanted to illustrate, I says, those are weights that in order to run the race, you need to lay those aside. Of course, they get the idea of that. They get this picture in our mind. But we live one our Christian lives in such a way that often we're carrying around these things that hold us back, that cause us not to obtain the crown that God intends for us to have. They are things that are not necessarily sin. I think that's the way most would take this because of what comes next. But he says that there are things which are not necessarily sin, but they dampen our enthusiasm and faithfulness to God's, to God, to His Word, to what He wants me to do, to His church, etc. It weighs us down. It's baggage that we carry around. And the idea is, have it in your mind that if we're going to really determine to run in such a way that I obtain the prize, I'm going to have to lay aside every one of those weights. And you say, well, what are they? That's up to you and the Holy Spirit to determine what they are. But and this is where you can kind of get to what some would call preaching. But let me tell you, if it keeps you from church, it may be a weight. If it keeps you from the Lord and your times in the Word, it may be a weight. If it dampens your enthusiasm towards the things of the Lord, towards the lost, sharing the gospel with the God, it may be a weight. We have to lay it aside. But notice the second thing in verse 1, says, let us lay aside the things, the weight and the sin which so easily beset us. So the sin, there's a definite article there. Sometimes preachers will emphasize that definite article and say, well, that sin is unbelief. It makes sense in a context because it talks about I need to run by faith. And so the sin would be not walking by faith, not trusting God, not believing His Word, not believing His promises. I, however, think it's more a general sense to all sin. Basically, I think the nature of all sin is we don't believe God. We believe our own self. We believe our own ways. We're not trusting Him. But it's a general reference to all of it. But all sin in my life entangles me. This looks good on paper. I'm going to say it. There are no non-besetting sins. In other words, every sin entangles me. Some more than others, I get it. But every sin will slow me down in the Christian life. Every weight, maybe something I do, it's not necessarily sin, but something I do, it slows me down in the Christian life. These things I am to lay aside, take deliberate action to put them aside, make decisions, make choices to put them aside. Why? So that I can stay on course, so that I can keep going, and so that I can at the end obtain the incorruptible crown. That's how I am to run my race. There's one more part here, and I'll just mention it and look at chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Number five, my eyes, my attention, my affection, my focus needs to stay on Christ as I run the race. Don't take your eyes off of Him and onto something else. And I'll show you that at another time. But that's how we run the race. Maybe there's a place for us to consider. Sometimes we're just thinking about the prize. He says that's not the way to run the race. Run the race looking at Jesus, considering Him. Because the temptation is going to be to be wearied and to faint in our minds, to lose our resolve, to go on to other things. I think there's easily a temptation to put our mind on something else. And what we need to do is keep in the race. This COVID-19 stuff, which affects all of my thinking, has for several months now. Let me put it this: I'm growing tired of it. But you say, when's it going to end? I don't know. The race is long. Race is long. But I'm determined in my Christian life. I'm determined in my leadership of the church. Is that we're going to run in such a way so as not to be disqualified. We're going to run to obtain the crown. We're going to run with patience. We're going to run by faith. obeying God's word, following everything He says in His word. I'm gonna run well, like the Galatians did before someone hindered them. And that needs to be our determination. Is it going to be easy? It wasn't easy for the Hebrew believers that the letter was written to, but that was the way to run the race. That's what it means to be patient, because there are going to be these times that are going to be harder to run than others. But let's determine to run the race that is set before us in the manner in which God wants us to run that. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, indeed, I pray that You would take the scripture, just cause it to excite our minds and to give us a thirst to go back and think on it more. Lord, I pray that the picture would remain clear. Any of my words that muddied the waters would just drift away, be forgotten. But keep Your word fresh in our minds. And then by Your Spirit, enable us to figure out how You want us to run that race that is set before us in these circumstances and times in which we find ourselves right here and right now. And Father, I pray for Your help in that. Lord, I pray that all of us would get to the end and say that we've fought the good fight. We have finished the course. And we're looking forward to that crown. Lord, I pray that You'd give us a profound desire to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.